keep him, promote from within, or go outside the organization and bring in a fresh voice and a fresh vision? If there is a decision, well, I mean, there is a decision.
Yeah.
That's the decision. Those are your three options. Revenge of the Birds, a website that we use frequently for ideas and inspiration about what to talk about when it comes to the Arizona Cardinals. One of their writers, Blake Allen Murphy, did a really nice job today of breaking down, okay, these are the three choices for Michael Bidwell, the three choices. What is he going to do? Is he going to keep his general manager and trust him with his rebuild of the defense with this $80 million in cap space and this top 10 draft pick? Is he going to let Steve Keim go but keep somebody from within the organization, somebody like Quentin Harris, who's been, you know, in his position for 12 years now, and he's the number two personnel guy in the entire organization, or go with a guy like A-Dub, Adrian Wilson, who's, you know, worked under Keim for 6 years? Or fearing that those two guys might be too much like Steve Keim, or would make similar decisions to Steve Keim, go out and get somebody completely brand new?
I think that what we've talked about is that if you're Michael Bidwell and you're making this decision on what you're going to do, and it is a decision, you're almost there. Like, you're almost at the, I have enough information, I'm ready to present my case. And I think a lot of it is, you know, I would want to see, how does the team respond to the shellacking that they just took against the Rams? How do they respond? This was the outlier. This was the game that nobody saw coming. This was a game, they could probably win this game. The Rams aren't that good. They laid an egg, right? They were terrible. How do they respond from that game? How do they play this week? Up until that Rams game, I think if everybody was said, they're going to bring back Steve Keim, things had, okay, all right, things are headed in the right direction. The teams look good. The offenses look good. The defense is terrible. We know that. I would question Steve's draft picks for sure. He's going to have to get better at that. He's got a lot of cap space. But you know what? The Cliff and Kyler thing has worked out. They won three games in a row, and they were competitive in so many games. That's what people wanted. But then you get shellacked by the Rams, and you're like, oh, it was just such a bad game.
Yep.
That you're like, all right, let's reevaluate this. Let's just reevaluate everything and see. And that's where you're at probably coming into the Pittsburgh game. I want to see how they respond. If I'm Michael, I want to see, how does this team respond to getting beat like that, that badly? That's going to be the key.
Yeah, and I think that's fair to say. It's not a complete picture that Michael has in front of him. And we had Brock Huard on the show earlier, and he, of course, former talk show host at 710 ESPN up in Seattle. We've had Brock on many, many years. The Cardinals play the Seahawks in a few weeks, and he said, I know the Cardinals will bring a better effort against the Seahawks in a couple of weeks than they did against the Rams this last week. Acknowledging what an outlier it was to see the Cards play against the Rams the way they did. I would have to think, though, that Michael's got a lean. Maybe not a decision, maybe not a final verdict, but certainly a lean, yes, I'm going to keep him, no, I'm not. And that's decision number one, right? I mean, it's almost like there are two decisions here. Not one decision, but there's... Do I keep him? Yes or no? And if I don't keep him, do I stay inside or do I go outside? Do I hire from within? Because when he promoted...
But you hire from within, you're probably getting, you know, somebody that's similar in philosophy to what they've been doing. If you go outside, can you find somebody that can... Can you find a GM that would agree to... Because you're gonna have demands on this GM. You know, we're not touching the offense. Like this is what we bought into this philosophy. The Cliff and Kyler can make this work. We kind of like it.
And yet, is that a fair demand to make of a general manager coming in from the outside? Right, to say, hey, you have no say over this whatsoever. Cliff and Kyler, and don't touch it. You can't. That's not practical, is it?
I mean, do you want a GM that's going to be like, oh, okay, no problem, I'll just work on the defense?
No.
I mean, would you want a guy like that?
I don't think you'd get the best guy if you did.
No.
What you need to find, and this is where it gets tricky, you need to find somebody who wants to work with Kyler and Cliff, right? Who looks at it and says, yeah, I could do that. Yeah, I'm excited about that. And what I think will help their cause, if they go out, let's talk hypothetically here, if they go out searching for a new general manager from the outside organization, what's going to help their cause is that Cliff has not been so ultra married to air raid style offense, right?
Yeah, it's not four wide receivers.
Cliff is,
it's not 10 personnel.
Cliff is adapting.
He sure has.
Cliff is evolving. Cliff is showing he's not just some one-trick pony who's going to run 10 personnel out there every single down of every single game because, damn it, that's how we do it. He's not been that guy. And if I'm an incoming general manager, I look at that and I see a guy who's got multiple tricks, multiple cards up his sleeves, and isn't just a one-trick pony. That helps their cause in getting an outside guy because they have played all air raid, all 10 personnel all season long. I'd agree. It might be kind of tough. They haven't, though, and I think that helps them. I think that helps them a little bit.
You know, you do question when they decided to go with this concept. You know that they're not going to change the coach 2 years in a row after
right.
1 year. But was it a combo deal? We're tied to this for 2 years with the people that put it all together, right? Are they? And that's the question. We don't know the answer to that. Are they tied to the concept of Keim and Cliff and Kyler all together for 2 years to see what they can do?
It's possible.
And you know, and the other thing is, I mean, the 50 wins over 5 years for Steve. How much does that weigh on Michael? That he had success with Carson Palmer and with Jared Veldheer and some of the things he did? Or is the more recent draft pick issues and the defensive issues 2 years in a row, is that something that weighs more heavily on his mind?
This story suggested the best course of action would be to hire a new general manager from outside the organization for a lot of the reasons that you said, that if you promote Quentin Harris or if you promote Adrian Wilson, neither one of those guys have spent a lot of time with any other organization. So their hyper-familiarity with the Cardinals might work against them and might lead them to make decisions that are similar to what Steve Keim would have done. Whereas you bring in a new voice and you get just a totally different, fresh look at things. He had names. He had suggestions. A lot of these guys, I imagine the common fan probably hasn't heard of. Ed Dodds with the Colts, Alonzo Highsmith, Elliot Wolf, who is Ron Wolf's, who's related to Ron Wolf. He also suggested a couple of broadcasters. NFL Network's Daniel Jeremiah, who, you know, I've been a big fan of.
Yes.
ESPN's Lewis Riddick, who I know his name has come up in the past for possible front office vacancies. He was actually a guest on the Doug and Wolf show about 2 months ago. And was asked if he wants to be an NFL GM.
The short answer is yes. I'd love the chance to try and put together a football operation, not just a football team, but a football operation overall. But see, here's the cool thing for me now. I don't have the same mentality I did when I was in scouting, which when you're in scouting, that's all you think about is, man, when can I move up the ladder? How can I get an opportunity? How can I get an opportunity? I'll take any opportunity. How can I get an opportunity? I don't look at it that way anymore. You know, now you have the power to have choices because ESPN has been so great. Things have gone so well, and I've been so fortunate to be hooked up with some really good people. That now I'll pick and choose. If the right situation comes up, there's no question about it, man.
And I got to think for a prospective GM, they're going to have to ask themselves: is Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray the right situation for me? Because that's what it's going to be for at least a while. If I take that job.
If not, then you fake it during that interview, man. So you can get the job. These are good paying jobs. High paying jobs.
Yes.
Not many of them.
And they're very rare. And I think that's the one thing that always has to be considered. When somebody says, who's going to want that job? You're going to be stuck with a quarterback. You're going to be stuck with a coach. You know what? A lot of guys are going to want that job.
A lot of guys.
There's 32 of them.
Yeah.
It's the pinnacle of your career. If you've been in player evaluation, to be the general manager of an NFL franchise,
yeah,
that's the top of the mountain.
So you'll work with you would inherit what they have, quarterback and coach, and you just go with it. I think a big thing will be this Sunday. How do they respond to that Rams game? Michael will have his eyes on how they respond.
Join us tomorrow. We're going to be on the road. We're going to be in Tempe on Priest and Elliott.
Priest and Elliott.
We're going to be at the Walmart.
Gentleman Jack.
Priest and Elliott. Gentleman Jack. Bottle engraving remote. Buy a bottle. Buy 10 bottles. Buy as many bottles as you want. And you'll get them engraved for free tomorrow from 2 until 6. While we're there, you can also text the word Jack. It's a 620-620 right now. You'll get a special offer courtesy of Lyft. So again, that's tomorrow. The Walmart, Priest and Elliott in Tempe. We only have 3, I think, bottle engraving remotes left before Christmas. take advantage of this while you've got it.
Yeah,
great gift.
Great for clients, great for family. Head on down to that Walmart in Tempe. We'll see you there tomorrow.
Coming off his worst start as an NFL quarterback, Gambo just said it a minute ago. How are the Cardinals going to respond? How will Kyler Murray respond? We know this. His coach says he's on edge right now after what happened against the Rams. You'll hear about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
See, this week he's definitely on edge and wants to play better. All of us do. We didn't coach well, didn't play well, and he's definitely going to practice really well this week, and I expect him to play well. We're living on the edge.
Kyler Murray's mad. Kyler Murray is actually, he's on the edge. And Cliff Kingsbury was asked, what exactly does it mean when you say Kyler Murray's on the edge this week?
Yeah, I think just focused, locked in. I mean, you can tell he didn't like the way he played. Coming off the game, he knew we can play a lot better, and he can be a big part of that. And so he's been really focused so far.
Gambo, you've mentioned it a couple of times today. You've been privy to some of the tape, and it's very clear in watching it that he missed all.
Crystal.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Tom Cruise. Appreciate that. It is I got Lieutenant Caffey over here. It is crystal clear.
Crystal.
That he missed a whole bunch of stuff out there on the field.
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of stuff. I went over a lot of the game film last night, just play after play after play after play. And man, it's him not recognizing where the safety is, not recognizing three wide receivers right with only two defenders there, just seeing where guys were inside compared to outside. There was a lot of stuff that he missed. So in watching it, it wasn't the design of the plays. It wasn't the route running. All of that stuff was fine. I mean, it was. All of that stuff was fine. The play designs were good. The route running was fine. He wasn't seeing it. He just wasn't seeing anything. He was just pick a guy if he's open and throw it and just try to create something. I mean, he did not play well because he missed. There were 20-yard plays open. And it wasn't like, okay, he had some pressure on him on some plays, but not all of them.
Yeah.
But he left three or four, five really easy plays that would have went for 20 yards on the field. Just had a bad game. Just had a really bad game.
And that's what Cliff Kingsbury says has Kyler Murray on edge this week. And he said, look, he's absolutely learned from the Rams game.
He does. It's been a learning process the entire season. And they have a good front. We're getting there quick. And I think he was getting a little excited, trying to get the ball out a little too quick instead of letting things develop. And that's understandable as a young player with some of that in your face after a bye. So just all things we have to learn from.
Now, Kyler Murray, when he met with the media today at a Cardinals practice, he was much harsher with himself. He's on edge because he was disgusted by that Rams game, and that's his word, not mine.
Yeah, it's just a disgusting feeling. You know, I'm sure you were disgusted watching it. You know, I was disgusted being in it. So it's just, it's not a good feeling that, you just don't want to, have that anymore. So just try your hardest not to allow that to happen again.
He has played it relatively cool since he's been here. That is one of the most emphatic 16 seconds worth of sound we have heard from Kyler Murray since the minute he walked in the door.
But don't you love that? Is that what you want to hear?
Yeah.
That's what you want to hear from your quarterback. You don't want to be nonchalant about it. You want a kid that's angry, a kid that's mad, a kid that can't wait to get back out there and prove that's not me. I'm better than that, and that's what I expect to see on Sunday. I'm going to be at the game. You're going to be at the game. I'm expecting a much better Kyler Murray.
We're way beyond making comparisons to Kyler Murray and Josh Rosen. I don't remember Josh Rosen being ever that emphatic last year after any of his poor performances. I could be wrong. We could go back and Jordan could look in the soundbite and find. I don't recall a soundbite where Josh Rosen expressed that much disgust and disdain for his performance in a game than Kyler Murray did right there. I can't remember.
I think he showed more disgust and disdain when he did that four ocean cleanup and he saw all the plastic bottles in the ocean.
Well, that is something to be disgusted. That is something worthy of disgust. I mean, it really is, people. That is socially
recycle
unacceptable.
Recycle your plastic.
There's no doubt about it. Here's a couple.
All the bottles out of the office before I leave.
Here's a couple more from Kyler Murray. Yes, I could have been more relaxed in the pocket against the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, I said it after the game. I think I should have. I definitely could have been, done a better job of being more relaxed in the pocket and just trusting it. and allowing, you know, things to develop downfield.
And yes, I had open receivers, Christian Kirk in particular, and I just flat missed them.
Yeah, there was a couple of times, I mean, watching the tape where, you know, I was kind of just disgusted at the fact that, you know, we, you know, the couple times where I did have time, he, you know, he had chances at big plays, and me being unsettled, you know, just didn't get to him. So, you know, it's tough, but we just gotta move on and hope you get better.
But the good news, Gambo, is I found something you have in common with Kyler Murray.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
I do. Other than the fact that you're both about 5 feet, 10 inches tall.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You both are in rotten moods when your headphones aren't working in the proper fashion.
It just kind of happened, and I was trying everything in my power to stop it mentally and, you know, kind of externally, but it was a bad day, and you know, it kind of showed from start to finish. You know, I was telling a funny, I left my AirPods on the way to the stadium. It was just like that kind of day, and you know, I think it transferred to the game.
When your headphones aren't exactly the way you want them to be, you're like a person in a Snickers commercial.
That's right. That's a Snickers commercial.
That's right. Yeah. You're the person in the Snickers commercial who just, and you freak out until you get your headphones the way you want them to be. Kyler Murray didn't have his AirPods.
You're not you when you're hungry.
Kyler Murray loses his AirPods on the way to the stadium, and that's it. He's done. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine trying to do a four? I can't imagine trying to do a 4-hour show with you when you don't have your headphone situation just the way you want it. I would lose my mind. I can't imagine you.
I think I have a few times, haven't I?
Yeah, and it's been some of the longest days of my life.
Yeah.
It's taken years off my life. Those four hours where you don't have your headphones just right takes years off my life.
That's 34 to nothing!
Well, your headphones were working fine that day.
Well, you know what? I mean, you're better than me at this. I've done this for 23 straight years now. Mm-hmm. Working with headphones and volumes high and on your ears, like I'm like feel like I'm going deaf. Like my wife talks, and I'm like, what? Can't hear you. Can you talk louder? Like all the time. And then like I got to put the TV louder. She goes, why do you have the TV so loud? I'm like, so she puts on the
closed caption.
So I could read it.
Yeah. Long time ago, when I first got into this whole radio,
smart. I wish you would have told me that.
Somebody told me to keep my headphones down at a very low level to keep myself from going deaf. I keep my headphones at a ridiculously low level.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get my wife to talk louder. If she talks louder like I talk, then I will be able to hear her. Talk so low.
So there you go. Kyler Murray, John Gambadoro. What they have in common, don't mess with their headphones. Don't mess with their earbuds, because if you do, you will get a lesser version of Kyler Murray and John Gambadoro.
He better bring his AirPods. Somebody better make sure he brings his AirPods Sunday.
Cliff King's better make sure he's got like 5 extra sets charged and ready to go in his carry-on bag, right?
Yeah.
You know, when he gets to the stadium, here
keep a pair in the car. Right?
One year for Gambo's birthday, I bought him a pair of headphones. Remember that?
Yes.
Remember that?
Sony's.
You loved all they were like the professional, super duper broadcast quality. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You loved those.
That was a good present.
That's what Cliff needs to do.
Where are they? The headphones.
They don't last.
This was a while back.
No, they don't last forever.
When you're in this, this is going to sound like so inside radio, but when you've been doing this for a long, long time and you carry around your own headphones, you kill them.
Oh, 2 years to 3 years.
Yeah, you just kind of kill them.
That's rough.
Yeah. It's just you get 2 to 3 years out of them.
Of course,
when you're using them every single day like we are.
When Gambo cranks them to 13, it's only a matter of time until he kills them, right?
I'm learning a lesson from you two because I always keep my volume up pretty high.
No, keep it down.
You'll be deaf.
Keep it down.
You'll be like, what?
Keep it down.
When you're older.
Jordy, I can't hear you. What are you saying?
Guy in a commercial. When his son says, I love you, you're like,
turn it up. Hey, why are you talking so quiet over there? Hey, turn it up.
Did I also become a 100% Italian man?
I don't know.
In the process?
When I impersonate somebody who has a hard time hearing, the voice of my grandfather comes out. I don't know why.
It's just
automatic.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
He was rumored to be a trade piece back at the deadline, but now that the baseball offseason is in full swing, will the Diamondbacks actually do it and ship out Robbie Ray? That, plus an update from the Suns game next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, Suns beating the Magic 33-25.
Bad news for the Magic.
So far, it's good news for Frank Kaminsky. My goodness.
Can't stop him.
Frank Kaminsky in 11 minutes has 13 points. He's 5 of 6 from the floor. He's 3 of 3 from the three-point line. Slow your roll, Frank.
It's like, we don't need no Baines.
Man.
What?
Seriously, right? Frank Kaminsky.
I was like player of the year in college basketball. Did you know that? Took my team to 2 Final Fours and a championship game.
Took your team. Your team.
I don't
I'm pretending I'm Frank Kaminsky.
Okay.
I was following Gambo on that.
He's role-playing. Yeah. Well, okay. I was not
like
aware
Wisconsin.
He was role-playing.
Oh, you
I
like do. Wisconsin, which is why I thought you were calling them your team, because you've been into Wisconsin.
I don't know why I like Wisconsin sports.
I thought we established it was because of the cheese.
The cheese? All right. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
Well, look, you've left us trying to figure out why. You've given us no explanations.
Yeah, you need to tell us.
In the void, we're just going to assume it's the cheese. I'm not sure what else. Wisconsin's a lovely place. I'm just not sure why you would be drawn to it other than the cheese. So we're going to have to go with that.
We'll go with the cheese.
All right, but you were role-playing, and you were playing the role of Frank Kaminsky, and he's killing it so far. Devin Booker's got 6 on 3-of-6 shooting. Once again,
that's what he needs. He needs a guy like Kaminsky to take that lead role so he could just be a secondary
Ty
player.
Jerome was the first point guard off the bench.
Joke there.
I know, I'm sorry.
It was Jordan guy.
I had already moved on. I'm sorry.
They don't need Aaron Baines. Check Diallo just hit a corner three.
Wow. Man, it is.
It's the first one in his life. He was into the kid. He never hit a corner three.
It is backup. Backup center day for the Phoenix Suns. Congratulations. Who knew?
Listen, you said this is a game you expect them to win, even without the bigs.
I think the Phoenix Suns, even without the bigs, even with no Baines, with no DeAndre Ayton, should out-talent Orlando Magic 9 out of every 10 times they play. I just think they have more talent than they do. I do. So, we'll see. It's a 37-31 going into the second quarter.
They literally just
game.
Turned the ball over with 3 seconds left in the first quarter and gave Orlando a layup.
That's what we get for saying nice things about them. You know, they do stuff like that. Robbie Ray is a player that was much discussed going into the trade deadline last year. Ultimately, it was Zach Greinke who got traded, not Robbie Ray. Ray is, and you called him, and we talked about this, an enigma earlier on in the show.
Stuff to figure out.
I don't think he is. I think this is who Robbie Ray is. I think Robbie Ray is a 5-inning pitcher who will strike out a bunch of guys, who will walk a bunch of guys, who will never consistently get deep into games, who's got some unbelievable stuff, but just will never really be able to harness it consistently to become a truly elite pitcher. Now, that being said, what is that guy worth on the trade market this offseason? Because I'm with you. I think the Diamondbacks are trading him this offseason. I think he's gone.
Part of the reason I think is because there's been no talk at all about an extension that I've heard of. It's December. It's still early. Extensions sometimes get done December, January. But when the Diamondbacks are down to 1 year left on a contract with a guy, if they want to keep that guy, this is when they get it done. They don't let it go into the season. So I haven't heard any rumblings that there have been any discussions. Makes me think that they're probably going to trade him. Probably. Now, again, if they don't get a good offer, they won't. But if they can get a good deal for Robbie Ray, I expect they'll move him.
It's funny. I've got a lot of trust in Mike Hazen. Well, you know, he's my general manager of choice here in town. I think he does a really good job at what he does.
We need to get you a Hazen jersey next.
Well, you know what? The last time we did that, Steve Keim jersey. I don't know. I was going Mike Salk there.
Hugely established and highly esteemed.
I don't know about all that. How did we not play that for Brock when he comes on? That's got to be his intro music.
We played it for him one. We need to get like theme music for Brock Heward when we have him on. I think he needs to have his own. That's got to be part of it. It does. I don't know if I should get a Mike Hazen jersey. The last time I tried that, it didn't work out. I used to bring that Steve Keim jersey with us to every single draft show that we had done the last 3 or 4 years. So
it's your fault.
Well,
you're the jinx.
I didn't display it this year.
And they got Kyler Murray. It's your fault.
Every single year for the last 4, not including this one,
Burnsy.
I displayed the Steve Keim jersey. I didn't do it this year.
We're always looking for somebody to blame, man. If you want to take it, I'm good.
I trust Mike Hazen to, if there's a good deal to be made for Robbie Ray, I think he's going to make it. Because he made a good deal for Paul Goldschmidt. He made a good deal for Zach Greinke.
Yep.
He ended up in retrospect, making a good deal with the Seattle Mariners and with the Marte. Taiwan Walker Ketel Marte. I mean, he got a future MVP out, but, candidate. Yeah,
Marte did. Yeah, Mike Hazen's a fantastic general manager. He's great. You know, that's why when there were rumors that he could end up back in Boston, I was saying it's not what I'm hearing. Like, I'm not hearing that he's going to go back to Boston. He ended up staying with the Diamondbacks, and that's good news for them. I mean, because he's fantastic at what he does. Now he's got holes to fill. Now, I mean, you've got holes. You either have a second base right field hole or a center field right field hole. You got at least two holes, so you've got to figure out how to fix those. Now you freed up $10 million by not bringing back about $10 million, 9.5 to 10, by not bringing back Souza or Taiwan Walker, and then you've got the money you saved from Greinke. So I expect that they'll be able to do some things that they want to do. But those are two big holes that they need to fill.
Yeah, and with this situation the way it is, with what you the changes you've made in right field, Robbie Ray, how that trade can accommodate fixing one of those problems, I don't know. I know that there's a rumor of him going to the Astros. I know there was a suggestion on ESPN today, a blockbuster trade of him going to the Yankees for Clint Frazier. Robbie Ray's name is out there, and with the winter meetings coming up, I wouldn't be surprised to see some real movement on that front from the Arizona Diamondbacks, whether it's a trade with Boston for Jackie Bradley Jr. I know you've talked about that obviously a lot, whether it's a Robbie Ray trade, whether it's a signing of a free agent. Today, John Morosi of MLB.com suggested that he'd been told the Diamondbacks were at least kicking the tires on Nicholas Castellanos, the outfielder who was traded last year from the Tigers to the Chicago Cubs. He had a really good year, especially with the Cubs.
Lit it up for 2 months.
It's interesting. We've been talking about how him being a Boris guy might really jack up his price. And at the end of the day, I think that's what's going to happen. MLBTradeRumors.com suggested that Castellanos could be in line for a 4-year $58 million contract based off of what he did last year. Seems low to me, but if that's the number you could get Castellanos
like 15
at,
million a year.
And that would chew up about half of what the Diamondbacks would have available to spend this offseason.
Again, I didn't want to rule it out completely because the price could come down. But what I said with these, he's a good player. He is a good player. He had a really good 2 months with Chicago, but he is a Boris guy, and Boris is going to want him to get paid like he's a Hall of Fame player. I mean, that's how Boris is going to want him to get paid. So right now, presently, right now, I think it's unlikely that Castellanos is a guy that ends up here in Arizona. But I didn't want to rule it out completely. I think it's more likely that, like, Ozuna to me doesn't make any sense. This organization values defense, and Ozuna can't play defense. So when Marcell Ozuna's name came up, I was quick to kind of shoot that down. I'd be surprised if they got Ozuna. Very surprised. I called him a better version of Yasmani Tomas. He can't play defense. That's not a Mike Hazen guy, in my opinion.
No.
I'm sure they'll look at it, but I don't expect Ozuna. Castellanos, again, I think it's unlikely, but I wouldn't rule it out completely. Because the price would have to come down, I think, from that, you know, roughly $60 million.
And it might. I mean, his career numbers are nowhere near in line with what he did the last 2 months of the season for the Cubs. His career as a whole suggests that that's not the player who he is. And teams might not be willing to pay Boris what Boris thinks he can get for him. Scott Boris is going to do Scott Boris things, whether he gets that money for Castellanos or not. But I tend to agree with you. I don't know if the Diamondbacks have $30 million to spend, do they want to blow half of that on Nicholas Castellanos to be their right fielder? I'm not sure that's the way Mike Hazen's going to want to allocate his resources, especially if they want to get in on Jackie Bradley Jr., and he might be $10 million, $11
million. I think he's going to be around $11 million, and you got to keep him, right? Would you trade prospects for Jackie Bradley Jr. and then not keep him? Make him a one-year rental guy? I mean, I doubt it. He's the best defensive center fielder in baseball. If they trade for Jackie Bradley Jr., I think they're going to try to lock him up for a few years.
The Air Force Reserve Jerry Colangelo Classic presented by Citi is back at Talking Stick Resort Arena this Sunday, December 8th. Now, this year, the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame is bringing you a triple header of matchups featuring Tulane versus St. Louis, St. Mary's versus Dayton, and Liberty versus GCU. Arizona Sports giving you an exclusive $9.87 ticket offer. Head to the reward page at arizonasports.com for more details. Steelers coming to town this weekend, and they'll have the benefit of having pulled off the best trade in the NFL this season, and it makes us wonder, could the Cardinals have done the same thing? We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show. back here with you on the Burns and Gambo Show in this 5 o'clock hour. The tease that I read going into that commercial break was, hey, the Pittsburgh Steelers have made the best trade of the season. Should the Cardinals have done the same thing? And with a little thanks to one of our listeners, it occurred to me we could be talking about two totally different things there. Acquiring Jalen Ramsey or trading Patrick Peterson. Right? The Pittsburgh Steelers made the best trade of the NFL season. Should the Cardinals have done the same thing? You can look at it one of two ways.
Okay.
Should they have acquired Jalen Ramsey or should they have traded Patrick Peterson? Right? It would still be a great...
But the Steelers acquired Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Well, I understand, but I didn't say made the best acquisition. I said made the best trade. And if you don't use the word acquisition, just say who made the best trade during this NFL season. Well, the Steelers got Minkah Fitzpatrick, and he's been fantastic.
He's been great.
We were looking at it from a perspective of, man, if the Cardinals had done the same thing, if the Cardinals had gone out and got Jalen Ramsey, would that have been as impactful for them as it was for the Steelers getting Fitzpatrick? But then again, with thanks to a listener, I thought about it. Would it have been a great trade for the Cardinals to deal Patrick Peterson at the deadline?
Yeah, hindsight now. Back then, no. I mean, I didn't want them to trade Patrick Peterson. Had him on the contract for a couple more years. Still, at that point, we thought was still one of the premier cornerbacks in the entire game. No, I didn't want them to trade him. Now, like, how the hell were we supposed to know he's going to come out and play this poorly? Like, how were we supposed to know that he was going to come out and then he's a shell of his former self? He doesn't look that good. He's not even the best cornerback on this team.
Should we have had a better idea, though?
No, I mean, how? How from what? Okay, Based on what?
Based off of the idea that maybe he just doesn't want to be here anymore and he is playing like he doesn't
want
to be here anymore.
Be here in previous years and he still played pretty well, didn't he?
Well,
Pro Bowl player.
The him not wanting to be here thing, that's really only a recent phenomenon. That's right, within the last year or so.
But doesn't that help you get at it? Like, if you play better and you force your way out, then the team can get more for you than if you play poorly and they get less for you.
Stands to reason, yeah.
I just don't know that we saw that coming. I don't know, but he seems to be a prideful guy as far as wanting to play well.
He's played so poorly this year.
Not just the first game back. I mean, it seemed like he was okay. All right, good, he's back. I wasn't expecting that. I thought that Patrick Peterson would come back and elevate the whole defense because then everybody else would drop down a notch and they'd be able to put somebody else on corner, on tight ends. And no, it's been this, and I use the word trash. Like, it's just trash. This defense is trash.
Well,
it's awful. I hate when the Cardinals don't have the ball. I honestly hate watching it. Because I just have the feeling that somebody's going to go on an 11-play, 80-yard drive and score a touchdown. And it just seems like that's... I do. I hate watching this defense. It's almost like you're just praying for somebody to make a play. Is anybody going to make a play? And usually it doesn't happen.
When was the NFL trade deadline this year? Was the 29th, right? Was that what it was? Or was it the 20...
What day was it?
When day was the NFL?
I don't know.
Was it the 12th? Okay, it was the 20th. The reason I'm asking is I'm looking back at the Cardinals' schedule. We had two games to judge Patrick Peterson before the trade deadline. We had the Giants game in which, hey, baby, the P2 effect is real, right? He was out there making plays, and it looked like they sorely missed him. But then that Saints game, he was awful, right? And so we had two games to kind of look at him and judge him. I agree. It's a hindsight conversation, and it's easy to look back on it. Now, I'm just trying to figure out if there's anything, and I'm not even including you in this. I'm including just myself. Is there anything that I could have looked at with Patrick Peterson, and I should have seen this coming, or I should have thought it was possible that he was going to play this poorly because he didn't want to be here, or maybe he's
not
motivated.
What did he get suspended for?
Performance-enhancing substances.
I mean, is there any belief that that helped him be the better player? I mean, that's a fair question.
When you get suspended for PEDs, you have to assume people are going to assume that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You have to assume people are going to go, oh, yeah, it was the juice. Oh, yeah, it was whatever he was taking.
Suspended for PEDs.
That's part of the fallout of being suspended for PEDs, whether you like it or not.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't think it was going to be a factor in him, but I mean, is it possible that he was that was helping him be a better player? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's fair to ask why. Why is Patrick Peterson not performing at a high level when he was the dominant cornerback in football for 7 or 8 years?
Yeah. The Minkah Fitzpatrick, it has been the best trade of the year. The Steelers have been otherworldly since they got here.
No Ben, no Le'Veon, no Antonio Brown, right? Their big three are gone. And they're 7-5, and they're battling for a playoff spot.
Sure.
And he's forced how many turnovers? Five picks,
seven?
Two forced fumbles, and two fumble recoveries and a forced fumble, 7 or 8. Like, he's been great.
Yeah,
like, he's been fantastic for them.
He's accounted for 8 of the team's league-leading 28 turnovers.
5 interceptions, I think 2 fumble recoveries and 1 forced fumble.
Yes, that's correct.
Like, he's been fantastic. Like, Miami gave up on him. He didn't want to be there. He wanted out of Miami, so he forced his way out. Miami got, you know, a good, you know, they got first-round pick and another pick for him, but he just didn't want to be in Miami anymore. That was Pittsburgh's gain, because he's good and he's young. He's like 23 years old.
The Phoenix Suns right now are losing to the Orlando Magic.
What?
54-50 with 4 minutes to go in the game. The Orlando, and by the way, this is the Coors Light, what's on tonight, the games that we are going to watch this evening, and it is brought to you by Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. Now it's 56-50. The Magic came in as one of the worst offensive teams in the NBA. They're shooting about 54% right now.
And did you see that last possession? They had two guys chasing Booker all around the floor. I mean, that's the thing. Like, teams are trying to just take Booker out and try to let other guys beat him. That's what he's got to face every single night.
I'm looking up the exact for the Orlando Magic. They came into this game 29th in the league in field goal percentage, 29th in the league in 3-point percentage. They are currently at 53.8 from the floor, 42% from the 3-point line. What has happened to the Suns' defense?
They just got a dunk, so that went up even higher.
Where has their defense gone? Man, it's been...
You've got no interior bodies inside. Like, you have no Baines, and you have no Aiden. You have two of your big guys are gone. They're out.
It's got to be better. They have to strive to be better than this. Even with those big guys out, they have to strive to be... They can't be giving up 55% to the Orlando Magic when they came in shooting 41%.
I mean...
They can't.
Kaminsky and Saric.
We're out of here. Luke Lipinski is coming up next here on the Burns and Gamble Show. Sorry, we're out of time, babe.
Have a good night, everyone.